Well, I thank all of you for being here this morning on another beautiful Lord's Day. We're so glad to have Charlie and Sharon back. Gail, we're glad to have her back. She was out last Wednesday. And I know a lot of us have got colds and coughs, and especially I do. So just please overlook it if you would. And we'll go on with our sermon. I do invite you back, though, this evening at 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about things that Christians should think about. This is just entitled, Think on These Things. I think you'll understand it. I think it'll be a good class, a good sermon. This morning I want to talk to you about, the title of the lesson is, God Gave Them Up. God Gave Them Up. Whenever people are determined to live in sin, when they fill to the brim the cup of sin with ungodliness, then God will give them over to sin. He will allow such individuals to follow their chosen course unhindered. Over and over again, in the Word of God, this truth is shown. As we look at Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 through 7, we see God essentially gave up the people of Noah's generation because of wickedness. Open your Bibles, if you will, and we'll read Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord he had made man on earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and the beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Later still, in Genesis chapters 18 and 19, we find that God gave up the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because not even 10 righteous people could be found. Look with me at Genesis chapter 18. Let's read verses 20 and 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. So the cries of these cities was altogether ungodly, immoral, and corrupt. But as we turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 and to 32, we find the most graphic description of depravity and why men degenerate to it. So let me look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 1. Let's read verses 24, 26, and verse 28. Here's what we find in verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Why did men degenerate into such a deplorable state of unrighteousness, and why did God give them up for it? Well, the answer to those questions provide a study of faith and morality that is particularly pertinent in times such as ours, in an age and society that daily sinks further and further into the depths of perversity, immorality, and disgusting disregard for God and all things that are good. First, people degenerate when they trust in the wisdom of man rather than the wisdom of God. In Romans 1, again, verse 18 through 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Without excuse. If man would simply exercise the sense that he was born with, he could know certain things of God by just looking around. Looking around. Looking at things that God has made. In other words, by simply looking at God's marvelous creation. But Paul continues on in verse 21 and 22, and he says, because that when they knew not God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This problem has plagued mankind from the beginning. There is no one so foolish as the one who thinks he knows it all. Today, in our age of humanism, we're being told that all things begin and end with man. That the answers to all questions and problems will lie within man himself. And so, not willing to be guided by the Lord God, man tries to guide himself. And you know what? He cannot. He can't do it. True wisdom and the ability to lead one's life to its full potential is righteousness. It's based upon the knowledge of God. You may remember in Proverbs 1 and verse 7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. Listen, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Leave God out of the picture and man flounders and degenerates into just a state as our world is in now. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom, man's wisdom, knew not God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Brethren, when men trusted in their own ability to guide themselves, foolishly, I might add, they'll perish. Oh, the great intellects of our time. We're warned in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Yes, higher degree, higher education has its place and science has its place. But it can never reveal God nor his will for man. God reveals himself through his word. And when man rejects his word, degenerating into a little more than debased animals, you know what will happen? God will give them up. Second, man degenerates when he exchanges the truth for a lie. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul wrote beginning in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Can you think of any time in history when more emphasis was placed upon man, the creature, than God, the Creator, than right now? Our society is exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Lies will not save, no matter how sincerely believed and accepted. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:22. Then in prayer to his Father in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, there is nothing else that will purify, nothing else that will reverse the tide of degeneracy. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 23, Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. God gave them up. He gave up those in Romans chapter 1 because they rejected His truth and accepted lies. And He will give up those today who do the same thing. There's a story. I like this little story. There's a story of three boys who were late for school playing video games. They agreed to tell the principal their tardiness was unavoidable due to a flat tire. Well, the principal heard their case and then placed each of them in separate rooms and told them to write down which tire was flat. The boys failed the test. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit how much money they gave to the Lord. Peter's aware of this, and he asks Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" The crime was not in how much they gave to the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira's mistake was in lying about how much they gave, most likely to receive praise from men. The end result was God struck down both of them that day to confirm, among other things, He is unwilling to condone lying. How differently would things be today if God judged us immediately for lying? Well, how careful would we be to tell the truth? Would we take more seriously God's commands to not lie, which He says in Ephesians 4:25, Paul says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth." God hates liars. He tells us that. The truth is we're judged by God every time we lie. Every time. We might still have breath in our lungs, but that doesn't mean that our lies haven't separated us from God. We just haven't felt the spiritual consequences yet. Let's look at Revelation 21, verse 8. Probably all of us know this. Revelation 21 and verse 8. And brethren, this is something you need to think about. The time is coming. Verse 8. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's where all liars will end up. This should motivate us to tell the truth and accept its consequences. You know, it might hurt us right now and bring us a little embarrassment upon us, but it won't be as painful and enduring as the final judgment awaiting all liars. The story is told in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, of a young prophet of God who believed a lie. This man was sincere. He's devoted to God. He seemed determined in every deed to please God. But he believed a lie, he acted on a lie, and he was slain. I tell you something else. This warning has been given, and it's applicable to us today, as to all ages, through all ages. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says these words, verse 10 through 12. Paul says in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." People with no love for the truth will find plenty of lies to believe and to follow. And you know what? God will give them up. The third point I want to make is man degenerates when he enters into sexual immorality and perversion. God is the author of marriage, and he has planned sexual relationships to be honored within its confines. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. When two people are joined together as husband and wife, our Lord said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But in the Gentile world of that time, sexual immorality was a way of life and sociably accepted. But I ask you, what is it today? Sexual immorality is a way of life and sociably accepted. That's the way it is. No difference. I don't care what man accepts. Just because man accepts it does not mean that it pleases God. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Brethren, when these people rejected God just as our society has done today, look at verses 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did what? Did change. They weren't born that way. They changed. They did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What a terrible, terrible picture there. But the depravity of homosexuality is described by God's word as being thrust upon us today through TV talk shows, newspapers, magazines, internets, and even our government as an acceptable alternative form of sexual orientation. And along with a lot of denominations today, as a matter of fact, a few years ago on the front page of the Courier Journal, it was reported that Highview Baptist Church, one of the largest of the Baptist churches, had ordained a gay preacher. I never thought I'd ever see the Baptists sink so low. If God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of homosexuality, what makes anyone foolish enough to believe that it is pleasing to him now? It's a sin. It has never been anything but sin. And it never, 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 never will be anything other than sin, and I don't care if that's politically correct to say so or not. The problem arises when men reject God's word as authority for their lives, and then they make their own desires and standard of authority. God gave them up over 2,000 years ago, and he still does today. The fourth point. Man degenerates when he refuses to have God in his knowledge. It is through the knowledge of the truth and obedience to it that we're made free from the terrible bondage of sin. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's go there. Second Peter chapter 1. Brethren, through the knowledge of God and Christ, every spiritual blessing is given to us. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Today, men speak a great deal about the grace of God, and rightfully so. But notice what Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Very important we read this. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying the ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Brother, if you have any question about what our duty on this earth is, or if anybody has a question, ask you the question, what is our duty on this earth? Please read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, which says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is our duty. Even the grace of God cannot be separated from the knowledge of God. God does not bless or even overlook ignorance. As we look to the Word of God as a guide for our lives, we must recognize that our lives are to be shaped and molded by it. James speaks of it as a mirror revealing to us what we are and what we should be. But when people refuse to retain God in their knowledge, instead of becoming like Him, they degenerate. The basest animal lust becomes the rule of life. And you know what? Again, God gives them up. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 28 through 32. Now this reads like the metro pages of our major papers, or maybe the advertisement page for movies showing in town. Paul wrote, beginning verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in that do them. What a passage that is. Verse 32 tells us that those who are not personally guilty of these sins, but accepted, are going to be judged. A reprobate mind is a mind that did not stand the test and hence was rejected. A mind that did not stand the test and was rejected. That's a reprobate mind. So my friends, the answer to immorality now is the same it was 2,000 years ago. The Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God. If we reject God, we will be rejected by Him. And if we ignore His Word, His will, His morality, we will reduce ourselves to moral bankruptcy. And when that happens, God will give us up. And who knows? He has not already done that to our immoral, leaderless, godless society. The only hope for any immoral society is to turn to God. To look to Him, to be guided by His Word. Let Him decide what is moral and what is right. Truly, there is no other choice. We seek to please Him and live with Him eternally. And brethren, this church, this congregation here, the Prairie Village Church of Christ, proposes to be a group just like what you read about in the New Testament. We give our total allegiance to Christ and His inspired message, just as the churches of Christ did in the first century. Our mission is to teach the gospel of Christ for the salvation of your soul. If you're interested in being a part of this church who loves the Lord and His inspired message, there are just a few things you must do first. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, for He is. Then you must confess your faith in Jesus and God that He can save you. You must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And then you must live faithfully. Then you will receive that crown of life that Jesus speaks of, which is heaven. That's the reason we're here this morning. That's our goal, to reach heaven. That's why we're here. That's what we strive for. If there's anyone here this morning who is a Christian, but you've gone astray, we beg you and we plead with you to take care of that this very morning before we leave this congregation, before we leave this building. Can we help anyone? If in any way, if so, come now as we stand and as we sing.